a voice deep inside of you. How many people are hearing voices? We actually encourage it. You know, they often say there can be 100 unity people in the room, but there's going to be 400 personalities. But the reality is there is a voice that is speaking. And over the last 3 weeks, that voice has been speaking to me, and I'm going to go on the edge a little bit today with a topic that isn't necessarily my favorite topic. So I'm going to invite you to dance as I hear the voice inside of me saying what needs to be said, and you do the same, and somehow on this Father's Day, we create a new reality. Are we good with that? How many pops do we have in the room? Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. We celebrate you. How many of you have ever had a father? Yeah, happy Father's Day to you too. How many of you have had a really great experience of father? Fewer hands. How many people did not have a good experience of dad? We honor all of it today. It's all welcome here. We don't pretend or try to hide something. It's a difficult job. It happens on Mother's Day. It happens on Father's Day. Sometimes they fall short. Sometimes they rise. But it doesn't really matter because we understand the truth that we are the fathers of our own reality. Yes? What we're fathering right now based on the experience we had as a child is more important than what happened when we were a child. But we would be remiss if we didn't all acknowledge this must be a powerful weekend. There's stuff being created. How many people celebrated Juneteenth on Friday? That is important. That's fathering a reality, keeping a vision and a hope alive and not letting it die, but remembering every time it comes around to June 19th. We're also celebrating. How many fellow pagans do I have in the room that summer solstice today? Yes? It's important that we honor the earth as we honor our fathers, as we honor our history, we honor our future. Today we're going to talk about the future, and it's all welcome here. Take a breath with me. Living into the vision by the voice that's being called. But let me start with a little story. The pastor had come with a great, brand new vision for the community. And he stood at the pulpit and he said, God has given me a spiritual vision that this church will walk. And the crowd went nuts and they cheered, let it walk, pastor, let it walk. And the pastor got more excited, more gregarious. And after we walk, we're going to run. And the congregation grew in intensity and said, let it run, pastor, let it run. He said, oh, but we're not going to stop there. After we're running, this church and this community is going to fly. And the congregation roared, let it fly, pastor, let it fly. And then the room got quiet and the minister lowered his voice. And he said, but to fly, it's going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of spiritual dedication, and we're going to have to up our offerings. And the room went silent. Until a little small voice from the back row in the back pew sheepishly spoke up and said, let it walk, pastor. Let it walk. Anybody have a vision and a dream and a possibility that you don't know? It's moving so quickly and you want to slow things down? Wait a minute. We're going to speed things up today just a little bit. You know, I love the cartoon. You've heard me say it before. Who wants to change? Who wants change? And everybody's hand goes up. And then we say, who wants to change? And everybody's hand goes down. The universe is evolving and moving. Have you noticed it? It is accelerated and amplified. Things are happening on the planet. We want to be part of it. We want to be part of the evolutionary cause, not just for the moment, but for the future. Today's talk is boldly going where no one has gone before. Say that with me. Boldly going where no one has gone before. It's the third and it's the final week in a series that I have done based on the phrase, church done differently. Say that with me. And I've used the phrase, 1,000 churches, but not like this one. 1,000 services, but not like this one. 1,000 moments, but not like this one. We've looked at the basic tenets of what we talk about every single Sunday, every Wednesday, in every class, and how they set us apart as unique. Not better than anybody else's tenets, but uniquely us. And we're a rare bird. Have you noticed that? What we're teaching here, what we're empowering here, what we're giving voice to, what we're envisioning, what we are giving birth to is pretty exciting. And pretty rare and necessary on the planet. Go back and listen to the last 2 weeks. They are imperative to what I'm going to say today. If you weren't here the last 2 weeks, go back. It's on YouTube, on Facebook, go on the website and listen to it. It's important because we as a community are going someplace. We as a community are growing and evolving into something holy and beautiful. Today, we're looking forward on how church done differently lives into the future. If we just celebrate and have the awareness that we're different just today, and we don't have a vision for what can be possible in the future, well, maybe it's an entertainment. Maybe your life changes a little bit, but the value of what we're doing here only goes so far. How those differences can affect the lives of generations upon generations to come, and, as the joke said, what it requires of us. Yes, what it requires of us. Anybody find that your evolution, your becoming, your dreams and vision actually require something of you? It requires movement. It requires investment. It requires passion. It requires not giving up. It requires getting up night after night when you are tired. One of the biggest challenges in the world, and this is what I think needs to transform and change on the planet right now, but the biggest challenges in our world, most of us are thinking about ourselves. There isn't a we, it's just me, 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 me. It's all about me. Say that. Anybody ever live there? Get honest, I'm not the only one. It's all about me. It's all about my comfort. It's all about my preferences. It's all about my needs, my schedule, and my life. How many people remember the movie Nemo, Finding Nemo, and the seagulls on the dock? Me, me, mine, 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 mine. And it's funny in a movie, but not so funny when you see it playing out in real life. There's a fear-based mentality that's ruling the world right now, and we're all looking like seagulls. Of course, not anybody in the room. Mine, 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 mine. Because we're afraid something's going to be taken away from us. Yet, how big is your God? How big is your universe? How big is your consciousness? There's enough to go around. Maybe we can spread the vision of the abundance, the good, the well-being, and the vision for the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with mine. I want to get real clear saying getting mine, there's nothing wrong with it unless it is informing your entire life. Mine, 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 my, and me. If it's informing every action, every word out of your mouth, then there might be something to look at. Every great spiritual master throughout history, every great spiritual institution and vision found its roots in somebody being willing to think beyond themselves. So we're going to reach back into history today and look. Somebody had to think, what about us? What about we? Many someones had that epiphany and created things out of nothing. This is what God asks of us. This is what the universe asks of us, to get out of our skin, to get out of our lives, and expand the good that can happen on the planet. Someone planted seeds knowing they would never sit under the shade of that tree. Think about that for a minute. Somebody planted seeds for a tree that you now get the shade of, you get the benefit of, that they never, ever got that benefit. That's care. That's compassion. That's expansiveness. That's vision. That's faith. How many people have ever been to Europe and been sat in one of those magnificent cathedrals? Yes. Isn't it amazing? It's awe-inspiring. People built those things over centuries. Those cathedrals were built over centuries. And the people who laid the first stones on the ground never, ever saw the fruition of what they were building. Yet they built anyway. Why would they do that? They built anyway. You know, we heard the advertisement or the announcement for the Habitat for Humanity. One, something we do as a community every single year. We're committed to taking the love outside of this room and getting out there, and we're building houses for people. And I love working on the first day. Now, I'm lucky as the minister, I get to go at the end too, but most people who are painting, putting up doors, putting windows, putting up the walls, laying the foundation, never get to see the fruition at the end of that habitat when the family walks in and says, we're home. Why would they do that? I want you to live into the question of why would they do that? Where you sit today, the chair you're sitting in, the room that you're in, somebody, many somebodies said, let me invest in the future. People that are not here on earth anymore invested in the experience that you're having right now. Visionaries who said, I want to change the planet, and I'm going to change it for Bob and Nancy Sykes. I'm going to change it for Barbara Howard. I'm going to change it. I don't even know who they are, but they're going to be in here someday, sitting in these chairs, in this room. I don't know about you, but I feel the energy of those people when I come in here. People that don't know my name. People that I never met, yet they had a vision of what was possible with church done differently. With church done in a way that met the needs of the necessary evolution of the human consciousness. They built anyway. So my question is, why would they do that? Because they understood something most of us on the planet have forgotten. The purpose of spiritual life, the purpose of spiritual community is not simply to serve self. It's not just simply to serve the people who are in the room at any given moment. To become a blessing to the people who aren't here yet. That's a very expansive we, but it's what we live into here. It's church done differently. The we, children that are not yet born, families that haven't arrived yet, or spiritual seekers that are not yet aware that we even exist. They're looking for us. They're on the street. They don't even know that we exist yet. I'm building, I'm speaking, I'm singing, I'm doing whatever it takes for them, knowing I may not be here when they arrive. Breathe that in for a second, folks. Church done differently asks different questions. Instead of, what do we need right now? And that's a question asked in churches all over the place. We ask it, it's important, what do we need right now? But if we stay there, we don't evolve at all. Church done differently says, what will the world need tomorrow? Let's say that together. What will the world need tomorrow? Breathe that in. You are hereby ordained as seed planters, as bridge builders, as dream realizers, not just for yourself, but for people you will never meet. In regard to our spiritual community, does tomorrow need more certainty or curiosity? What do you think? Curiosity, of course. Church done differently expands the consciousness with curiosity. Does the world of tomorrow need more judgment or more compassion? What do you think? Duh. We need more compassion. That's what we're doing. Compassion for the person who won't even come into this place for 20 years, who's going to walk in and go, somebody like McPatty Langston was here and had compassion and left it in the room. Somebody like LaRon Godwin came in here and planted a seed. I'm never going to meet him, but his name will be in my heart because I'm living in the energy of what he invested in by showing up, by being present. Does the world of the future need more selfishness or more selflessness? We don't have to even answer that, right? Selflessness. Get out of our skin, get out of our lives, and let God have its way with us, her way with us, in such a way that there is more. On Father's Day, that's the challenge, to father a new reality, to father a new paradigm, not just be comfortable with the one that somebody handed you. How selfish is that? Here's a wonderful place for you to go on Sunday and hang out with your friends and be safe and discuss some spiritual ideas. If we stay there, what a waste of time of their dream and their vision. We must also reach into the future as we reach back with gratitude to the past. Yes, every class that we offer, every child that we encourage, every newcomer we welcome, every person introduced to our life-changing principles, every hour of outreach, every hour of service, every volunteer we empower, every act of generosity, every giving, every difficult conversation, and anybody who's been in leadership, we have difficult conversations. Every conversation and every bold decision is done with one purpose, and that is to offer a better church to the future, a better community to the future, a better group of individuals, a better humanity to the future, a better world for the future, a world we may never, ever experience. What about me? What about me? This church will be dead in 5 years. What about me? We'll be done in 2 years. We're building a community in a world we may never personally experience. That's not a tragedy. That's not a tragedy at all. That's a privilege. That's a blessing. That's a responsibility. Jesus said it clearly, it is better to give than it is to receive. Say that with me. It is better to give than it is to received. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? The real significance has never, ever been about what we get, but it's about what we leave behind. I have a lot of grandkids. I'm blessed to be a grandpa 19 times. And I sing, I did life differently. I am actually 112 years old. But every one of my grandkids and my great-grandkids, I have sung a song written by Fred Small. And I want to sing it to the child within you, to the person in you. And the end of that song says, "The only measure of your worth and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone." And I use different words, apologies to Fred. The only measure of your words are cheap, and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done. Breathe that in for a minute. What is your legacy? What is your legacy at Unity North? What is your legacy in your family? What's your legacy in your world? Perhaps our highest calling as a spiritual community is not to preserve what has been given to us, but to expand it, to deepen it, and to invest in it, to make sure it's here for the future. The echoes that will be heard by children you'll never meet, by people who are hurting that you will never meet. Church done differently, paid forward. If everything we've celebrated for the last 2 weeks is just a momentary experience in the now, it'll be dead in 5 years. Our job is to hand over to the next generation and the next a stronger, a wiser, a more influential, a more inclusive, financially secure, loving, and vibrant community than the one that we inherited. That honors the past. And that creates a legacy for the future. Now, I asked some of you who didn't, you raised hands, who had a good experience of father and who didn't. And some hands went up. If you didn't have a good experience of father, you have one job. Do it better. That's it. Don't moan and groan about how it sucked. Just do it better. And if you had an amazing experience with the most wonderful father on the planet, guess what your only job is? Do it better. Don't let the good of yesterday, the good of the moment, get in the way of the greatness and the possibility of the future. I'm excited about that. Because church done differently here at Unity North in Cobb County is handing a better church than the one we inherited. That's exciting to me. I don't know if you get excited about that, but that's what I'm investing in. That's why I show up. That's why I'm up here. That's why I put money in a basket when it is asked. Imagine a young person right now, hungry for truth, making their way through the threshold of those doors 20 years from now. Put yourself in their skin. Put yourself in their life. Imagine someone lonely and searching for connection, finally finding us after 20 years of searching, or someone who's still asking the questions that no other church will allow to be in the room, finding us after centuries of looking. It's okay to ask the questions here. I'm excited about that. I will never meet that person, but I'm laying the groundwork and the stones for the cathedral that's being built in consciousness. What kind of community will these people find because of the choices we make today? Breathe with me. If we are just merely attending church, our value is very small. I hope you're here to remember that the we, the collective, your energy, Lee's energy, Mike's energy, Donna's energy, and my energy all comes together. That's a powerful force for creation. It's a powerful force for transformation. It's a powerful force for healing. Let the rains come and let peace spread over the land, because we refuse to moan and groan about the dry desert, but to know that in the midst of the desert, something holy can happen. We are fathering lives today and 20 years from now. We are fathering legacies and a spiritual home for generations of people we will never, ever meet. As I reflect on the future of Unity North and of each of us as individuals, I don't think the greatest challenge that we're facing is money. We're doing okay. We're not great. And there's been asks for money, and I'm going to mention it at the end of the talk today, so get ready. Lock the doors. Our greatest challenge is not money. It is not location. You know, I get people from Atlanta said, you know, if you were a little closer to a freeway, we might be attending. That's an excuse to not attend. Let's just get real. But it's not our greatest challenge. Our greatest challenge is not demographics. Nope. There's a lot of gray hairs in here. So what? There's a lot of visionaries in here with gray hair or with no hair. It's not our greatest challenge. Our greatest challenge is not politics. Politics is up in the field. Have you noticed that? It's not our greatest challenge. Those are very real as a community that we deal with. But the greatest challenge facing any visionary person or any visionary community is forgetting your dream, is forgetting your reason for being. It is forgetting your vision. It's becoming satisfied with what is, just maintaining what is, what currently exists, instead of creating what can be. That's the greatest death of any spiritual community. We're good. We got ours. Mine, 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 mine. I'm good. And the person 20 years that comes looking for us goes, I heard there used to be a space here, but they closed the doors. When we mistake comfort for success and allow convenience to replace commitment. Yep, I told you I was going to get a little uncomfortable. I'm meddling today. Joel, is that okay? I got from my guru, I got the yes, it's okay to meddle today. And I'm just speaking about what I'm working on today, and I hope that it hits at least 5 of you or 50 of you. We are not a convenience store. We are a laboratory for the future. We are not a convenience store. We're not a community center, a place to have fun. If that's why you're coming here, great, enjoy it. But you're not really contributing to the person who's coming 20 years from now. We are a laboratory for the future. How many people ever saw the Grand Canyon? The Grand Canyon. Did you ever go to the Grand Canyon or to Niagara Falls or to Yosemite? Close your eyes. Picture the first time you saw it. Wow. How about the first time you went to Disneyland? You remember that moment? And what did you want to do? I want to go tell everybody about Disneyland. I want to go tell everybody about the Grand Canyon. You have to come. You have to see it. You have to experience. It was God. It was God in form on earth, and I want to take my kids there. As a father, I wanted to take all my grands. Let me show you the Grand Canyon. It's more beautiful than you can even imagine. And now close your eyes and remember the first time you walked into this space. The same feeling. I didn't know these people were here. I didn't know a church that was this different and odd and weird existed. I found my people. The first time you heard a principle from this platform that you'd never heard before and your life forever changed. Put yourself in that vision. It's the same as if seeing Disneyland for the very first time. Hold that vision for the next person walking in the doors, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. We are not called. You can open your eyes now, unless you're asleep. Somebody nudged Ray. We're not called to be just another version of what already exists. We are called to be ambassadors of what is emerging. I'm proud to belong to a community that's not just living in the past, not just living in the moment, but living into the future of what can be. We are called to be ambassadors of what is evolving on the planet, a community where spirituality is ever expanding, ever evolving. Our greatest danger is we become spectators rather than participants. That we become attendees rather than investors. My question to you, will we preserve what we have inherited, or will we courageously grow it for those who come after us? How about both and? Let's maintain what we have, but let's not get comfortable there. Let's hand it something better to the future. Last week, I gathered a group of younger people in our midst. Their ages, I think, were 19 to 33. And I said, I know they're here. I've met them all. And I got them into a room together, and there was about 12 more that couldn't make it. And the first thing they said when they were sitting around the circle, I asked them to share. I had my ears on. And they said, wow, I didn't know you folks were all here. They looked around the younger people and they said, I didn't know you were here. I've been looking for you. And then I asked them their vision for this community for the future, the vision for their young community for the future, and they gave it. And then my second question to each of those young people was, do you believe it's possible here? Do you believe it's possible here? Not a doubt, not a question. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And there was excitement and passion that I used to have when I was 30 years old or 19 years old. I'm an honest folk. Sometimes I get tired. At 64 years old, I get tired. And my yes is not quite as forthcoming as theirs was. My yes is not quite as enthusiastic as it used to be. I want to invest in the yes of the young people that sat in that circle who believed in the possibility. And I want to invest in their yes way more than I want to invest in my tiredness. This week, I'm going to be really self-disclosing here. I'm on the consistent giving program, and I give way more than I ever have given. And the time came to go to Church Center in the app and go, boom, here's my consistent giving for the month. And I went, it's been a little tight this month. I'm not sure I want to do that. I'm tired. I was a little cranky about something that had happened in the church, and I went, I don't know if I want to give that money right now. And then I pictured the yeses in last week's meeting and the young people that says, I believe it's possible. There was no pause. There was no question. Send. Out of my account, immediately into the vision of what Unity North is becoming. And I smiled. Let me tell you, I felt a lot happier than if I had withdrawn and pulled it back and said, well, not today. The overwhelming understanding that our legacy that I was contributing to and investing in the future. Now, I've gotten the chance to meet the 19-year-olds and 33-year-olds. I'm not going to meet necessarily the 5-year-olds that haven't found us yet. But it felt good. Somewhere right now on the streets of Cobb County is a person who's been marginalized, who's been told they don't belong, who's been ostracized and is about ready to give up hope. The question isn't whether they're coming here. The question is, are we going to be ready when they come here? Can you read that all? Can you see that? Let's read it. The question isn't whether they're coming. The question is, are we ready when they hit our doors? I've talked about the ceiling here for a long time. You know, I've been meeting the last couple of weeks with some of our top donors, and they say, I don't understand why it's not a full house. I don't either. We keep hitting a ceiling. We get new members, we see them, we receive them, and then the numbers stay the same in attendance. And I thought long and hard and stayed up at night about that. And here's what I have come up with. The ceiling is a lack of awareness that what we're doing here at Unity North, right here in this moment, is as much for those coming than it is for ourselves. I think that new thought creates a bunch of selfish people. Mine. I don't want to live that because there are people seeking us right now. I want to be ready. I want to be poised and on my toes. Yes, participate regularly for your spiritual growth, both and, but don't stop there. Even Jesus, our master teacher, said, I have not come to be served, I have come to serve. We might want to follow the example. Service means putting your body into the arena, not just when it's comfortable. It means getting on the church app and going, there's my tithe because I believe in the vision of the future, even when I'm tired. It means contributing, even when I'm fussy or cranky, because I know where we are going and I know what's happening. Every father, we invite the band to come back up. Every father, good, bad, or otherwise, eventually asks the questions, what am I leaving behind? Right? Dad's in the room. Good, bad, or otherwise, you're eventually going to ask the question, what am I leaving my kids? What am I leaving my grandkids? My father, who you get to, thank God he doesn't watch the stream because I wouldn't say half of what I say about my dad. My father is way more concerned about what he's leaving his grandkids and his children than what he does for himself. See, I want to get real clear, there must be a balance. I tell my father, spend the inheritance, please, Dad. Get yourself a new sweater. You've been wearing the same one for 35 years. do something for yourself. But he doesn't do anything for himself. And my siblings and I are going to greatly benefit from his diligent commitment to the future. And that's one thing. My father doesn't smile a lot. But when he talks about his legacy, his smile gets really, really wide. I want to be that concerned for the kids that are finding their way to Unity North Atlanta. And I want to hold that same inner smile. Take your hand and place it on your heart. If you are led, you don't have to. I want you to feel an inner smile that you are part of something that's going to affect a child's life 20 years from now. That makes me smile. You know, I'm going to say something. Don't give to this church because you think we need it, because that is creating a needy church. Don't give to this church except for the reason that you are investing in your own spiritual growth and the growth of the person to your left and your right and the person who is making their way to our doors. We are not merely paying bills here. Don't give to us because you think we need to pay our bills. We are funding possibility. That's why you want to give. Don't give merely because you think we're maintaining a building. Give because we are cultivating a vision for the future. We're not just supporting programs or paying salaries. We're investing in transformation, individual and planetary. I think sometimes we take for granted what we do here. Oh, it's just church, but it's church done differently. 1,000 churches, but not like this one. The world, humanity, needs the consciousness that we are cultivating here and now. Yes? I believe that deserves an amen. Amen. A little music. Last week, I got a text from Frank Birdsong. Anybody know Frank Birdsong? Frank Birdsong is the architect of the building that you sit in right now. And last week, we talked about the windows. And I guess on the stream, they took a shot of the windows. And he happened to really enjoy the singer last week. He's a very good friend of Will Hodge, who was playing a guitar that Frank Birdsong gave him. Frank has not been able to attend this church for over 2 years because of his health and because of the loss of his beloved wife, Judith. I know he's listening right now because I celebrated his 85th birthday yesterday at his house. Happy birthday, Frank. And sometimes I leave Sunday morning and I go, I don't know, am I just spitting at the wind? Am I just up here talking and is it reaching anybody? I hadn't seen Frank for a while since the memorial service of his wife. And he sent me a text when I got home that day. And there was joy about windows that he designed. There was joy about a program and a service that he still invests in every single month when he goes send. There was joy in the music program. We talked about the kids and the outreach programs. And in Frank Birdsong's text to me, I cried. But there was a cry in his text as well. He says, I have a legacy. There was evidence of a legacy there. He's promised me he's going to make it back to the room. I'm going to hold him to it. But the reality is, it is not keeping him from investing in the good that's happening still on the planet and the people that have never met Frank Birdsong who are enjoying these beautiful windows, who are enjoying this great, magnificent structure. He was the first one to put a shovel. He and Carol O'Connell put a shovel into this ground when we were nothing but a possibility. You don't even know those names, some of you, but you live into the love that they shared. That's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Church done differently. He recognized through the stream the incredible value of being able to connect here through a camera that does have a cost to it. Through people to make sure sitting in the booth that they can get to him in his home that has a cost to it. This is the part that is not comfortable for me because I do this job for love, but it has a cost. Love doesn't pay the bills or the mortgage. It sure feels good. Love is not going to assure that this church is here 20 years from now. It is the investment given with love. Frank is on our consistent giving program, and so are many who cannot attend this church every week. I talk to them. When you guys are all greeting every Sunday, I talk to them. Don't forget that we belong to each other. Yet they still are on the consistent giving program, contributing to a legacy lived. That is my challenge on this last day of the consistent giving campaign. Those of you who are on it, thank you. Those of you who grab this card every single week and put it in the basket, I want you to know how grateful I am. I benefit from the legacy that you have given me. And my grandson and the young people that met last week are going to live in the legacy of your generosity and your love given. I'm asking you to join Frank Birdsong on the Consistent Giving Program, to join the young people who are saying, yes, I believe it's possible. And the people who are still looking for us, join them. It's really easy. We make it simple. And I'm not asking you, well, I am asking you, if you would like to pay off the mortgage at $1.2 million, that would be great. Or if you'd like to take one day, it costs us $3,200, $3,300 a day to run this place. We'll take one day from you. I'm asking that your $10 and your $10 and your $10 and your $20 and your $5, put it together. We are a powerful force. We are a powerful legacy. We are a powerful demonstration that our love is holding a vision for what is possible 20 years from now. I don't like asking for money. I love getting up here and inspiring you. And I'm asking you to put a value on the inspiration that you've experienced. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's something Will Hodge did on that guitar that was given to him by Frank Birdsong, where it was like it just sings and it moves. Maybe it's a value that you want the lessons that you have learned in this platform to go to the kids that haven't even been born yet. That's what I'm asking you to invest in. You have today, it takes all of about 30 seconds to be a part of that program. And I know there's reluctance. Let's talk about that reluctance. I dragged my heels for 5 years to get on the consistent giving program. And now I'm able to give more, and I'm more abundant than I have ever been in my life. 1,000 churches. Oh, not like this one. 1,000 congregations. Not like you. Not like us. That's a dream. That's a vision. That's a possibility, that's a future, and that's a legacy that I will continue to invest in over and over and over again. And maybe someday when I'm 85 and I'm watching on stream, I'm going to go, I was a small part of the lives that are being changed in that room. So it is, so it shall be, and so we will let it be. Amen.